darf es etwas mehr Blick sein. Für dich und alle Freunde. Und eine eigene Strandvilla.
Jetzt im Euro-Jackpot. Rund 40 Millionen Euro. Das Leben könnte so Jackpot sein. Mit Euro-Jackpot. In jeder Lotto-Annahmestelle und auf lottobayern.de. Lotto Bayern. Nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Chance auf den Höchstgewinn 1 zu 140 Millionen. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter bzga.de.
Wünschst du dir jemanden, der dich versteht wie kein anderer? Jemand, der deine Wünsche wahr werden lässt und mit dir das schönste Abenteuer deines Lebens erleben möchte? Die Commerce-Plattform Shopify revolutioniert Millionen von Unternehmen weltweit. Mit Shopify richtest du im Nu deinen Online-Shop ein. Ganz ohne Programmier- oder Designkenntnisse. Dank der effizienten Einrichtung und intuitiven Social-Media- und Online-Marketplace-Integration kannst du über Instagram, eBay und Co. werben und verkaufen. Neue Zielgruppen zu erreichen war noch nie so einfach. Shopify bietet auf einer einzigen, sicheren Plattform alle Tools, um dein Online-Business aufzubauen. Kostenlos testen und dein Business der Welt präsentieren. Shopify.de/try besuchen. Einfach shopify.de/try eingeben und loslegen. Made for Germany. Powered by Shopify.
My wife, Lacey, was in a car crash in April of 2020. Well, not so much as a car crash, as a car winging her at a crossroad at 54 miles per hour. She hit the pavement so hard it fractured part of her throat and collarbone. Her left arm broke in three places. It was brutal. As I stayed with her and her family in the hospital, we had plenty of worries. She had a serious concussion, and we were anxious it might lead to something permanent. The doctors kept talking about the use of her left arm and her fine motor skills. It was only one single nurse who touched upon what would turn out to be the most permanent damage: her throat. At first, the doctors just told her not to speak. We were told she had to rest and regain her strength, so there would be no speaking for weeks as her throat healed. She also had to wear a sort of neck brace, this awful-looking metallic thing. She was in desperately low spirits, but so very thankful for everything we did. As the weeks turned into months, most of her fractures and broken bones healed, but not her throat. Lacey still couldn't talk, no matter how much she tried. I remember once when we stood in the kitchen, I looked her in the eyes and told her I loved her, and all she could say back was this wheezing whistle. She had some sort of panic attack and locked herself in the bathroom, trying to scream. We went through lots of trouble trying to restore her voice. Hour after hour of strenuous exercises. She even had a few minor surgeries. At one point, Lacey started drinking this sort of home remedy from something she learned online. She got stomach cramps for about 3 days afterwards. No wonder though, most of that recipe was just rosemary, olive oil, and some bullcrap flower extract you could order online. The result was always the same. Lacey locked herself in the bathroom and cried. A parade of disappointment. I grew impatient seeing her despair over and over, so I joined her in a hunt for a treatment. But it had to be something guaranteed. I couldn't bear to see her disappointed again. Trying to find something to restore a broken voice is close to impossible online. Just sorting through the scams is a full-time job. Whenever I had a few minutes over at work, I would post in forums and check search alerts. I had to open a second email account just to handle the sign-up spam. I got sent a few earnest responses, but most of it just linked to dead ends or holistic nonsense. There were a few genuine responses with links to articles, experimental treatments, and upcoming technology. Nothing was accessible or even realistic. It took me 3 weeks to get an email that I cared to read all the way through. It came from an auto-generated email account, but somehow got through my spam filter. It read, "Don't worry, I know what you're going through. I know someone who can help. Don't be alarmed and follow these simple steps. 1. Plant and care for the seeds. 2. Welcome the guest. 3. listen to the song. 4. Don't pick the white one. At first, I didn't think much of it. It was strange, but anyone who's been online for any longer period of time know that people like to make stuff up all the time. I just put it aside and thought no more of it. That is, until 3 days later, when there was a small white envelope dropped on our doorstep. Inside, there was an unmarked package of seeds. I considered flushing them down the toilet, but I couldn't. The bathroom door was locked. Again, Lacey was crying. The sound of a broken throat sniffling over the sink broke my heart, as so many times before. I opened my mouth to speak, but couldn't bring myself to do it. Even if there was close to no chance of this working, I had to try. I would do anything to make her happy again. I just wanted to hear her call me Sunny Bear again. Cutest nickname I've ever had. So, I planted the seeds in our flower bed in the front yard, watered them, and cursed myself for being an idiot. Seeds turned to sprouts. That turned to stalks. From the stalks came buds, and from those flowers came these radiant royal blue sunflowers. It took less than a month, and even though they were smaller than ordinary sunflowers, Lacey loved them. She tried to bring a few into the house in a pot, but they kept dying. We decided on just leaving them be outside, letting them grow and cheer us up whenever we left the house. Not that we went outside much. 2020 was one hell of a year. One night, Lacey and I had a bit of a fight. She got easily frustrated whenever I talked too much, as she couldn't effectively talk back. So, whenever I got a bit too talkative, she would leave the room. It frustrated me, having to keep my thoughts on a short leash. Usually, we could talk about anything at any time. Now, I had to walk on eggshells. No wonder I started spending more time soldering knickknacks in the garage. We could barely be in the same room anymore. As I was repairing our front door lamp, I noticed a shadow on our driveway. It wasn't technically on our property, but it was clear they were observing me from the road. I couldn't make heads or tails of the frame, but it was clearly a normal-sized person, possibly wearing a large coat. "Can I help you?" I asked loudly. There was no response. A brisk wind rattled the flower bed, which reminded me of that email I got way back when. It takes so little for the mind to travel to the most obscure crevices. "I think I'm supposed to welcome you," I said. "If not, well, have a good night." As I started walking back to the front door, I kept talking. It was just nice to talk again. "But just, you are welcome, just to clarify." I took one more look back at the shadow on the driveway, only to notice it was gone. Over the coming days, I would notice Lacey standing by the window. A few times, I would ask her what she saw, but she would just sigh and walk away. Soon, I just stopped asking. Several times a day, she would stand by the front door or look out the window. Every time she'd look in the same direction as where I'd seen that shadow of a person standing in the driveway. And yet, there was nothing there. Not that I saw. It was by now we started sleeping in separate beds. She'd expressed how she felt pressured and sort of intruded upon, and that she wished for us to find our way back to each other with love rather than obligation and a sense of must. I couldn't blame her. Marriage takes work, and she wouldn't be happier if I forced her to do something she was uncomfortable with. Instead, I started sleeping in the guest room. She would still be kind enough to make the bed while I was at work, though, so not all was lost. There was warmth between us still. I didn't even think about the third item on the list. Listen to the song. What song? It didn't make any sense. Yet, I found myself thinking about that list more and more. I'd done two things on it, and it hardly took any effort at all. It was almost as if it was being done to me, rather than the other way around. But there was no song to listen to. At least there wasn't. Until I started listening to Lacey. I don't know how long she'd been humming it. It was that kind of droning background noise that had just always been there. She could still hum and hit all tunes, but I had no idea what the song actually was. So, one day, I just kissed her on the cheek and asked her about it. "No idea," she responded with a text-to-speech app. "Nursery rhyme?" It kind of had the tune for it. Calm and a bit melancholic. Music boxy in a way. There was no way to just search for the tune, but I couldn't stop thinking about it. Hell, if I were 3 points on a 4-point list, I might as well go all the way. I started humming it too. In fact, I hummed it so much, I started to make up words for it in my head. At one point during lunch hour, I stopped to put it all in writing, just to see what Lacey would think. I wrote, "You're my friend, I'll sing your tune, a setting sun to rising moon. I ask you, buddy, buddy blue, won't you be a sunflower too?" I showed it to her as soon as I got home. To say Lacey didn't care for it would be an understatement. She just stared at the paper. She was lost for words, in more ways than usual. I tried talking to her, but she was growing hysterical. Again, she locked herself in the bathroom, crying harder than usual. This time, I took it pretty hard. "Just talk to me," I screamed, pounding at the door. "Just use the damn app. Make an effort." Her response? Just more crying. "Lacey, for the love of God, you gotta give me something to work with. Just please, just make an effort. I'm right here. You're the one locking the door. I'm standing right here. I'm with you. Please." And yet, despite all the pounding and all the yelling, the door stayed locked. A paper slid out from under the door. It was the lyrics I made up for the song, with a big "screw you" written across it in an eyeliner. That night, I was near the breaking point. We were getting into November, and even the blue sunflowers were getting dry. I took a 2-hour walk through what was quickly turning into a harsh storm, blowing leaves into my face the entire way. When I finally got to a nearby restaurant turned bar, I decided to take out my restrictions and whatever number of drinks it would take me to calm the hell down. Right next to me were two guys who worked at the steel mill about half an hour's drive south. I'd seen them around town, but we never really talked. Still, after living the life I'd lived for the past few months, I wanted nothing more than to talk until my throat was sore. They seemed eager enough to keep the conversation going. If nothing else, at least we could complain about work. 3 drinks in, I started talking about Lacey and her condition. One of the brothers just nodded along, but the other just looked at me curiously. As I stumbled into the topic of the strange email I'd gotten, he just stared at me. "I've heard that," he said. "Ain't that the Silvertongue game?" The brothers looked at one another. "You're right," the other brother coughed, slack-jawed. "That takes me back." Apparently, the Silvertongue game was something that kids who wanted to be great singers used to play back in the 1910s. It was a local topic of conversation, sort of a forgotten superstition. Now that they mentioned it, I could vaguely remember hearing about it. The first rule, to plant and care for the seed, was not meant to be so literal. Originally, it was about daring kids to swallow sunflower seeds and drink as much water as they could. The second rule, to welcome the guest, was a metaphor for breaking a rule. Kids weren't supposed to welcome guests into their house, so to welcome a guest was shorthand for doing something you're not supposed to. The third rule, to listen to the song, was to sing a specific nursery rhyme where others could hear it. Anyone who knew of the game would recognize it and punish you, but most adults tend to forget it as they grow up. Then there's the fourth one, said the now drunk second brother. Don't pick the white one. That's still the same as it was back then. But what does it mean? It means what it means. Don't pick the white one, he shrugged. When the devil comes to give you a new tongue, don't pick the white one. It looks the most like silver, but it ain't. I stepped away to text Lacey, but I got no response. The wind was picking up outside, and I was starting to worry about getting home in one piece. The brothers were calling it a night, but they weren't in any condition to drive. They had an Uber coming, but they were going the other way. So we said our goodbyes. I was left standing in the parking lot, not knowing where to go or what to do. Finally, I just started walking. The walk turned into a jog, and the jog turned into intermittent sprints. A thought hit me. I hadn't followed the rules. I hadn't swallowed any sunflower seeds. I hadn't broken any conventions or done what I was supposed to do. I wasn't the one who started to sing the other song either. Lacey did. Had she done all the same things, but the right way? If so, she was on the final step. What had she been doing? I was getting worried. I knew it was all superstition, but the sunflower seeds had showed up on our doorstep. There had been a stranger there, watching us. Lacey had been acting strange lately, and she'd been locking herself in the bathroom more frequently. Had we been doing the same thing without telling one another? I got back home around midnight, my hands frozen stiff. My heart was pounding, and I didn't even know why. I was getting anxious. I fumbled for my house keys as I walked up the driveway, only to realize the front door was open. I don't know at what point I started saying, "No, no, 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 no," to myself. But there it was, repeated like a damn Hare Krishna mantra. "Lacey," I called out. The house was quiet, except for the wind forcing itself through the cracks in the front door. I hurried to the bathroom, only to see it was still locked. I pounded on the door, but it was useless. I ran out to fetch my tools, only to see a shadow standing in the driveway. I don't know if it was the same thing that I'd seen before, but there was one difference between this time and the first time I'd seen them. I'd fixed the light that goes above the front door. As I hit the switch, the intruder stepped out of the shadows. I'll never forget the sight of this woman. Easily 6'5", but all hunched up in a crouch. She had this wild, bush-like black hair that pointed in all directions. Her skin had this metallic grey and blue tone with a dry and hardened texture, like cracked leather. At first, I didn't think she had a face, as it was so thin I could see more of her skull than her features. Her eyes were completely covered in grey, and her pale lips were retracted in a forced smile. She was emaciated beyond what I thought a human could survive, and wearing nothing but a large fur-like coat. I could see the edge of her bare knees, feet and elbows sticking out. There was something on the inside of her cloak. Tongues. "No," my mantra continued. "No, no, no." Her face barely moved, but it didn't take much for me to realize her mouth had curled into a smile. I started backing away into my garage. She started sprinting towards me. I slammed the door down and pressed the lock. I stumbled over my workbench, knocking over tools and cables as I reached for the lock on the side door. As I clicked it shut, I picked up the biggest wrench I could find and stepped back into the middle of the room. I could barely hear the wind outside as my heart swallowed all sounds. All but one. "Sonny Bear, are you there?" It was a voice. It took my reptile brain a few seconds to recognize it. I hadn't heard it in so long. That was Lacey's voice. Now, I was the one who'd locked myself in a room, hearing my loved one trying to get in. But it wasn't her. It couldn't be. That thing out there had to be something else. That couldn't be my Lacey. Still, no one else called me Sonny Bear. No one. "That's not you," I said. "It can't be you." "It's me, baby. Open up." "No, no. You're not thinking straight. Let's talk about this. Tell me what you wrote on the note." It got quiet. The wind was howling outside, drowning out my thoughts. My heart was pounding so hard, I could feel it turning my stomach. I was gonna be sick. "Tell me what you wrote." No response. I knew it. It felt like an eternity, but it must have been no more than 10 seconds that passed. "Come out and she'll get a new one," the Lacey voice said, slowly shifting pitch. "I don't trust you." "She chose the white one, you know." The voice had turned venomous and dark, only keeping a vague cadence of what used to be Lacey. "What does that mean?" "You'll see, Sonny Bear. Just go away. You'll never hear her again. No more whispers, no more songs." This ticked me off to no end. My mood swung from a complete tear-drenched panic into a stomach acid-fueled rage. I swallowed my thoughts, feeling my dry tongue stick against the corners of my mouth. I tightened the grip on my wrench as I opened the side door. Nothing. I hurried inside the house and, using the wrench, managed to break the lock on the bathroom door. There, on the floor, was Lacey. Her tongue was swollen and white, her eyes blank. She wasn't breathing. I just fell to my knees, dropping the wrench. I took her into my arms, just repeating the same thing over and over. "No, no, no." I had to try something. I fumbled my phone out of my pocket and dialed 911 on speakerphone as I started giving her CPR. Every breath I blew into her mouth tasted of foul copper, but there was nothing I wouldn't do. I could barely register a conscious thought as I screamed for help. I don't know how long we stayed on the tear-stained floor. All I know is that after an eternity had passed, and as I heard an ambulance rolling up on the driveway, Lacey gasped for breath. As we locked eyes, I smiled. We didn't have to say a word to communicate. "Yes, I love you too." Large parts of her tongue had to be removed. It was some sort of infection that spread to her mouth, and she was in a serious condition. Her blood levels were all over the place. Still, she eventually recovered. Today, Lacey's throat is fine. She still can't talk, but we're doing better. The trauma is there, but she's seeing a regular therapist and working through her diagnosed PTSD. Still, I'm not sure that I trust the therapist. Dr. Jane gives me some creepy vibes. Lacey and I are doing fine. There were so many things that can be said without words. And when the need rises, we've started to adapt to new tools and tricks. Whiteboards in the fridge for good morning greetings, just mouthing I love you as I leave for work, an earnest smile when I get back home. As I suspected, Lacey had been following the same rules as I had, but she had a bit more context. She ordered the same type of sunflower that kids used to eat the seeds off of back in 1910, the obscure Tom Scott sunflower that she bought from a collector. As for the second rule of doing something she wasn't supposed to do, she started smoking in the bathroom, and the song. Well, I didn't know what it meant. Singing it in front of me was part of the game. The only problem was the fourth rule, not to pick the white one. Recently, I had the courage to ask her about what really happened that night, why she chose the white one, and why she allowed herself to be tricked. It was the rules not to pick it, after all. So how could she fall for it? That's the trick, Lacey told me. They're all white.
In Deutschland streamen jeden Tag Millionen von Menschen Musik, Podcasts und Online-Radio. Digital-Audio ist mehr als nur ein Hintergrundgeräusch. Es ist ein wichtiger Bestandteil des täglichen Lebens. Und mit seinen präzisen Targeting-Möglichkeiten ist es eines der am schnellsten wachsenden Medien überhaupt. Erfahren Sie auf katzdigital.com, wie Digital-Audio Ergebnisse liefert. Das ist katzdigital.com.